Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. God bless you. Thanks for joining us here today. Happy Monday to all of you. God bless. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Monday to join me, join us here as we study the Word of Almighty God. We're in the book of Revelation. We are in chapter 17 here today. And again, I thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day, be it 6:30 in the morning on WWBC, 7:30 a.m. here on 91.5 WMIE, 5:30 in the afternoon rebroadcast. Thank you. You're tuning in to WGOD. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. And the secret is to go to where he speaks, and that is in his word. That's what we're about to do in a minute. You will hear my Sunday sermon here Tuesday and Wednesday. And I was in Romans chapter 9, going through the book of Romans verse by verse. This coming Sunday, my sermon is going to be the mysterious John the Baptist. I love preaching on this guy. And this usually is my last sermon before Christmas, though it's been a few years since I've preached it, John the Baptist. Everyone focuses on what was going on with the birth of the Messiah, but I'll tell you what, right down the street here, in this quiet little corner, is this mysterious man, John the Baptist, one of my all-time favorite things and persons to preach on. Wrap your minds around what John says about him. There was a man sent from God. Now, that Greek word there, that preposition from, is the word para, which means from alongside of or alongside of something, like parallel lines, paramedic, paranoia, beside yourself. Here you have Paratheou. There was a man sent, Paratheou. There was a man sent from alongside of God whose name was John. Wrap your minds around that here today. Ponder that for a while. Now, Jesus says, if you're willing to receive this, he is Elijah. That's where we're going to be. This Sunday morning, you are invited. We would love to see you here for our service this Sunday morning at 10:30. Why don't you come by and visit as we get into the meat of the Word of God? That's what we do here at Island. We look, we feast on porterhouse steaks here at this church, and we dig into the meat of the Word of God. That's where we're going to be this Sunday morning. We would love to see you. Wednesday night, my associate pastor is teaching that. He is in Jonah the prophet, the Old Testament prophet. And we got off to an excellent start this last Wednesday. That's where we will be this Wednesday, 6 o'clock. Jonah, four chapters of Jonah. We would love to see you Wednesday night at 6. Here now on the radio, we're in the most difficult to understand chapter in the entire Word of God. It's this. It's Revelation chapter 17. Where I've learned, as of now, there's just bits and pieces we can take from this that we do understand. So let me pick it up from the top. Forgive me for just having a lot of reading today, not a lot of understanding, but we will bring to light the things which we do understand. Now, we've just wrapped up the seven bowl judgments. We're almost done with the book of Revelation. We're now going to see... Well, the angel is going to show John, who is writing this, this great mystery. And the mystery, what I believe, is this last church is an apostate church. They've turned away from the faith. You see it today, all around us today. The churches today, many churches today are totally apostate, those that are led by these wacky lesbians and homosexuals running the church where sin is rampant, no one gives a rip anymore, the glory of God has left the building. We're seeing this kind of thing out here today. Not so much here in this country, though, in a lot of churches in this country, but all over Europe and around the world, this stuff is going on right now. It's just regular stuff. The government runs most churches and other places in the country. That's why these descriptions, which I'm going to read to you now, are eerily similar to the churches around the world right now. This is kind of what they look like. Now let's pick it up from the top, and I'll comment on the few things which the Lord has given us understanding with already. And I know at the proper time, but just like Revelation 13, when he commands us to calculate the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man, his number is chi, zai, stigma, the time, when the time comes, we will be able to understand that. Otherwise, he wouldn't command us to do it. So we might not get all of it here yet, but here we go. Let's read through this. Lord God Almighty, we praise you. Lord, we pray for wisdom and insight and discernment and understanding into your word. You wouldn't have explained all this if you didn't want us to know it. Help us to know it. Draw close to us now as we draw close to you. And help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Okay, we're in chapter 17, the book of Revelation. If you're driving on your way somewhere, sit back and relax, ponder some of these things here today. Then one of the seven angels, having the seven bowls, he came and spoke with me, saying, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and those dwelling on the earth became drunk from the wine of her fornication. And he led me away in the spirit into a deserted place. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. That's the key, to understand. Remember what we've been saying all along here. When you understand the symbol, and you'll understand the book. Because Revelation is a book of symbols. When we've learned a long time ago what the beast represents. Represents the Antichrist. And we've learned long ago that Satan is the one pulling the strings. The first reference we get to seven heads and ten horns goes back to chapter 12, verse 3, and it credits the devil himself as the power behind seven heads and ten horns. We learn a lot from that. We learn that Satan is the ruler of this world, and he's the ruler of this world today. The Lord Jesus at least three times calls him that, the ruler of this world. John chapter 12, chapter 14, verse 30, and chapter 17, Jesus calls Satan the ruler, or the King James Version says the prince of this world. The Apostle Paul calls him the God of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. So understand the symbol. We understand the book. Satan is the one behind the scenes here. He is the one pulling the strings. He is in charge. The Antichrist is his man. We learn here that there is an unholy trinity that's going on and is in place here at the end of the age. Satan, the unseen leader, the Antichrist, the political leader, the last government leader here. The government's going to force you at the end of the age to take the mark of the beast in order to buy and to sell. And the religious leader. Remember, chapter 13, I saw someone with two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. And he deceives those that dwell on the earth by the signs which were granted to him to do. So that's the unholy satanic trinity. Satan as the silent partner, Antichrist, the political leader, false prophet, religious leader. Two horns like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. Now, this angel is going to dig a little deeper into the seven heads and ten horns, but our problem is we don't really understand what he means by this. This is why this chapter intimidates me, because all we can do is speculate. You'll understand what I mean by that as we get into this now. Let's continue here in verse 4, and then we're going to look at his explanation of who this is, which I'm sorry, I can't tell you who it is, but let's keep reading. Let's pick it up again from verse 3. So he led me away in the spirit into a deserted place, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, gilded with gold and precious stones and pearls. Notice how luxurious this is. Notice how beautiful on the outside. That's what I said earlier. It's like so many of these churches across Europe today, where inside there's hardly anyone in them. They're beautiful because the government owns them. The government sponsors them. The government is the one that does all of this stuff on the outside. But inside, you see, the glory of the Lord's left a building, because they're afraid to talk about sin anymore on the inside of the church. Sounds like what the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. You're like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside you're full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. Okay, verse 5. And on her forehead a name was written. A mystery. Now, we don't know if the word mystery is what he's pointing out to us, or if mystery is part of the name. I believe that's just that the colon belongs after the word mystery. On her forehead, a name was written, a mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abomination of the earth. Now, this woman's riding a beast. Well, like I said in Friday's program, the European coin of the European Union, they proudly use this coin and spend it. It's in circulation today. This very thing, this woman riding the beast, is one of the coins to buy and sell today in the European Union. This is not a future thing. This is already in place. This already is the coin today. Europa, the woman riding the beast. Now, on this woman's forehead, there was a name written, and it's a mystery. So we're in good company if we don't understand it. Babylon the Great. Now, what does he mean by Babylon? Mystery Babylon. Maybe you've heard that phrase, or there's a million and one books written about it. Mystery Babylon. What does he mean by Babylon? Now, in the old days, like when you read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, when Peter's signing off and saying goodbye, he said, those of us in Babylon greet you. Now, Babylon, in the old days, back in the first century church, was a code word for Rome. And that fits along, right along with what we're about to read now with this. Well, let me keep reading. So on her forehead, a name was written, a mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Verse 6, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. You see, this surprised him. This woman somehow or another is going to represent this last apostate church that this false prophet's going to rule over. Remember, two horns like a lamb. There's still counterfeit Christians around here. There's apparently true Christians around here. Look at this. The woman was drunk with the blood of the saints. There's still saints. And a saint's not someone that you pray to when you lose your wallet or before you board an airplane. a saint is you. There are still Christians around. Book, chapter, and verse. Here it is. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. So they're still dying for the name of Jesus here. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. John, now, he must have saw something that didn't seem natural to him, that something appeared to be something which turned out to be something else. Maybe at seeing the church, just last church here, partnering together with the devil, maybe that's what it was. Verse 7, but the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that's carrying her, which has seven heads and ten horns. Okay, the angel now, he's going to explain to us. Remember, this is the Antichrist, chapter 13, seven heads and ten horns. Now, I mean, how cool is this? The angel's going to tell us what this means. I'd love an explanation. How about you? Things are bound to get easy now, right? The angel's going to tell us what this means. Chapter 17, verse 8, the beast that you saw was and is not and is about to ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. There, don't you feel better now that you know what this means? Ha! Big help that was. You got to understand this through the lens of past, present, and future, okay? Past, present, and future. Now, remember that as I go through this verse. The beast that you saw was. It's Antichrist. Remember, John says, this is the Antichrist who's already come into the world. This is the spirit of Antichrist infecting people. It's already in the world, 1 John chapter 4. So the beast that you saw was, and he is not. That is, he's dormant or not visible in the year 96 when he wrote this. The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to ascend out of the bottomless pit. You see, we've read that before. At the death of the two witnesses, and we know what day that is, 1,260 days after they start their prophecy. Revelation 11:7 says, when they finish their testimony, the beast who ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war with them, overcome them, and kill them. So, past, present, and future. Again, verse 8, the beast which you saw was and is not, and is about to ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. He's going to hell. That's his end results, what he's saying. You can write it down, take it to the bank. The final destination of this guy is hell. Chapter 19, verse 20, you'll see him thrown in there. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose name is not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. They'll marvel, that is, when they see the beast that was and is not and shall be present. You catch that now? The past, present, and future. That's how you need to interpret this. That this spirit of Antichrist apparently has been evident at some time in history. Apparently, it wasn't evident then in 96 AD when we believe John wrote it, and will be evident again. That's my best understanding of that. He's been around before. He's not around right now. He's going to be around again in the future. Go back to chapter 11, verse 7, and you see he comes out of the bottomless pit and kills the two witnesses. Now, verse 9, here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. I said in Friday's program here, the seven mountains is Romulus and Remus. Rome is known as the city of seven hills. Now, let's move on to verse 10 here in these remaining 6 minutes I've got today. And here's where things get difficult, but we'll try to explain this. Now, verse 10. And there are seven kings. Again, catch the past, present, and future. We still need to understand this the same way. And there are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, and the other's not yet come. And when he comes, he must abide for a short time. And the beast which was and is not is also an eighth. And he's of the seven, and he's going to hell. He's going to perdition. So five have fallen. These kings, these are world kingdoms. Five have fallen. One is still in operation when John wrote this. And the other one, the last one, has not come yet. And the beast which was and is not is also the eighth, and he's of the seven, and he's going to hell. Now, here's a really good commentary I read on this. The seven kings are seven world kingdoms as it relates to Israel, because Israel is the focal point of time and history, always has been, always will be. If you want to understand what's going on in the world, you got to look at Israel, look at Jerusalem. That's your go-to place to understand. So seven kings, it's world kingdoms. He said five have fallen. So that would be Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, and Greece. Those five, when John wrote this, they had already fallen. The one that would be is Rome. One is, that's Rome, present day Rome. His readers certainly understood that. And then the one yet to come will be the final kingdom of the Antichrist. That's what we're waiting for here today, this final kingdom. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. Verse 12, and the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings for 1 hour with the beast. These have one purpose. They will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called and elect and faithful. Well, that one's a lot easier to understand. Now, verse 15. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, that's, remember, these nations, these 10 horns, they will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, and her eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. Now, verse 18, and we'll close it here. Verse 18, I believe, is the last verse here in this chapter, and it is. Naturally, he's going to tell us who the woman is, finally. The woman who you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Huh. Might not understand it today, but when the time comes, we will understand it. Babylon, mystery Babylon. Is it the literal Babylon? Or is Babylon the key word for Rome? That's what I think it is. I know it's a little bit hard to understand, but certain things we do understand. We know God wins in the end. We know there's going to be an apostate church here at the end. The world's heading that way right now, and the Church of Jesus Christ is heading that way now as well. And, well, we're out of time. We'll end it there. We'll be back here tomorrow, Tuesday and Wednesday. You'll hear my Sunday sermon here, What's Up with Israel, Part 1. We'll hear that here on Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll be back in Revelation chapter 18 Thursday and Friday. You are listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
So many songs, cried out at the top of my lungs, my heart still reaching for something deeper, something more. Give me old, give me new, I just want to sing the truth here in these praises. Let me see Jesus.